This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Darius Thomas.
I can fix it in post.
And Karina Anglada.
It's still early for me, okay? No judgment.
Welcome back to the Creative Sports Podcast. It is Women's History Month, so shout out to all the ladies out there across the globe. This is going to be special because all month we will be spotlighting creative women in the field. Last month we spotlighted some black creatives, and this month we're focusing on the women. And with that, we have a special guest host who will be hosting all of our episodes for the month of March. We have Karina Anglada of Adobe, formerly of the Golden State Warriors. So, do you see the clock?
Yes.
So I'm going to give you a second, and we're going to clap. Tessie, you don't have to worry about this part. So we're going to go at 45. Did you miss it?
No, I did.
Yes, you did. All right. We're going to do
Did it sound like I missed it?
What is your second on?
Mine's on 20.
It's like a big delay.
Really?
What second are you on?
It says my clock is 0.5 seconds behind, but I'm on 8, 9, 10.
Oh, yeah, you're behind me. That's interesting. So you're 3 seconds behind. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do 7.
Seven right there. It's so delayed.
You're like 2.5 seconds behind.
I know.
It's crazy. But
it's really bad.
Work.
Okay. No, I don't like that.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Karina, thank you and welcome to the Creative Sports Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I am super excited to host this month, but I'm even more excited for our guest, Tessa Andrade, creative producer. I'm so excited. Welcome to the Creative Sports Podcast.
Hey, thanks. So excited to be here. Looking forward to chatting.
Me too. I'm so happy that we have this conversation and this space. And so we're just going to get right into it. I want to know, how did you get your start in the industry? I love hearing where everyone began. So what was your start in this industry?
Yeah, so I guess from the very beginning, I was a part of the AV club back in high school. So we would cover some of the sports teams and all of that stuff. And so I thought that was super fun and super cool. And then I was like, okay, now I have to go to college, and I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I had a lot of fun with that. So I kind of continued to do that. And I was kind of in between switching up my degrees. And then I had a professor in my sports media class who was in the industry in San Antonio. And so he knew a ton of people that worked with the Spurs. And I was talking to him about my interest and my background, and I was still editing and stuff on the side, and so I had that experience already. And he introduced me to the Spurs broadcasting director, I believe. And from there, he said that they were interested in a part-time person to come in and kind of help out with pressers and just the, you know, some of the smaller things. And so I did that while I was in college, my second semester, my senior year. And then, that kind of was the start of my sports creative career, was with the Spurs. So that was a really cool one.
So you mentioned high school. Did you know back in high school that that's kind of what you wanted to do? Because I feel like most people either fall into it or they kind of grow to love it. It sounds like you kind of had a solid foundation from a young age.
Yeah. So I just wanted to be like in the mix. Like I was just trying to be part of like every club. Like I was on the debate team. I was in like FFA, which I don't know if you guys know what that is, but Future Farmers of America. So I had like a goat and a pig, and I was just in all these clubs. I was on the drill team. Like I was a dancer. Like I was just trying to find myself, I guess.
I have not heard of Future Farmers of America. That is a first, and that is also amazing. But I cut you off. Continue. You were involved in all sorts of things.
Yeah. No, you're good. I'm a Texas girl, so I was like, let me get the full Texas farm life, I guess, experience. But no, it was really cool. I had 2 goats and a pig. And it really taught me a lot of responsibility for sure at a young age. But anyway, moving on to the broadcasting club that I had in high school that I was in, it was cool because they were like kind of a part of every club. So like they went to every event, every pep rally, every thing. And I don't know, I just thought it was cool. So I started in that. I like loved it. And then, like I said, I didn't know what I wanted to do in college. Like I feel like a lot of people kind of don't. So I just kind of stuck with that and continued to stick with it. I didn't really try like anything new.
So you mentioned the Spurs, right? And that was kind of your first official gig outside of college. What was that experience like? I feel like being in the NBA right out of college is a huge deal. What did that mean to you? And what was that experience working for the Spurs like?
Yeah, so that experience, it was great. I met some really, really great people. And I mean, I was able to kind of do a lot. And I was able, that was like the first start, I guess, obviously. But I was able to kind of just see how you had to like interact with players and like the processes that you have to like get to be able to like pitch an idea. And I was a part of crews, so I didn't obviously produce like anything, but I was there to like help out. So I was just an extra like pair of hands, like basically like a PA, just here and there. And then it was cool because at the time, so it was called Spurs Sports and Entertainment. And so under that umbrella, there was the Spurs, like the NBA team. And we also had the Stars, which is the WNBA team at the time, which is currently the Las Vegas like Aces, I believe. They kind of moved over there. And because there wasn't like really a producer for that team, I was able to kind of like pitch ideas and stuff for their team and for their content. And so that was awesome because I felt like as players, the girls didn't get a ton of attention as like the Spurs. So it was cool to be able to kind of like pitch stuff and they were like, okay, yeah, cool. Like I'm down. Let's like do it. And so I was really able to grow creatively as a producer within the Spurs team, but just in a smaller, I guess, way. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. I love that because I think, you know, I'm looking back to when I was in college and one of the misconceptions I had was that, oh, I have to climb my way up the ladder, right? So I have to work with like a small team and then maybe I'll work with a WNBA team and then I'll work with an NBA team or another organization. But my first, you know, big girl job was working with the Detroit Pistons. But it's interesting because you said that while you're working with the Spurs and the WNBA, NBA and WNBA, you really kind of found your groove in this other opportunity with the WNBA. When you started, you know, you mentioned that you worked full time with the Spurs, or part time rather. You mentioned that you worked part time with the Spurs. Was your intention to stay with them as long as possible and become a full-time employee? What was your plan at that point?
Yeah, so my plan was to move back to like Houston. Like my goal was to be a producer for the Houston Texans. Like that was like my like end goal, or the Rockets. Sorry. I wanted to stay in NBA and I wanted to go home though. Like Houston, I wanted to work for the Rockets. That was like my hometown team. And it was interesting because I actually like went through the like interview process with them while I was still at the Spurs. And this is a regret of mine in a way that I didn't tell my Spurs like employee or not employee, boss that I was in that like interview process. Cause I just thought like, oh, I don't want to tell anyone, but everyone in sports knows everyone. There's like connections everywhere. And, they had the best, they had my best like interest at heart, and I felt like I should have told them that, and I think that could have helped my chances. But anyway, so I applied to that. I got an interview. I went through the whole process, but they also had their own part-time person who was applying for a full-time job there. And so I'm pretty sure they went with that person. I don't know for sure, but from what I've heard afterwards, I think so. But it's interesting because we still like keep it in touch, like with everyone who I spoke to and like interviewed with, because sports is just such a small like industry. So yeah, that was my like end goal eventually. But I feel like stuff changes all the time. And then for the Spurs, there wasn't an opportunity for full time. I went, and then I was approached by a production company within the San Antonio area. And that production company had clients, but they also did a ton of sports stuff. And like I said, I hadn't done a lot of producing or filming or edit. It was just still very like basic. But with that production company, I was able to get my hands dirty and really like get the like experience as a producer, shooter, like editor. And I even did some like on air stuff too. So it was a smaller company, but which was good because you kind of got to do everything. And so at the age of like 23, like that was amazing for me to be able to have that experience and travel all over the state of Texas, because then I was able to meet people from like the Cowboys, the Rockets, the Mavs, kind of just all over in those big like areas.
That's amazing. And I feel like you're very versatile in the sense. I feel like sometimes now in our industry, it's like you feel like you have to pick one lane. You have to be in post-production, or you have to edit, or you have to shoot, or you have to choose, you know, to be on air. I love that you had almost a diverse experience and skill set that you kind of just like leaned into. What was one of the highlights of working as, you know, that multimedia journalist position for you?
For me, it was really being able to do everything and to try everything. And like even as a kid, like I said, I was involved in everything. I was involved in debate in like FFA. Like I just wanted to be included and I didn't know kind of what my goal was. And that was the truth from the start of my like career. Like I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew this was my like industry. And so because I was able to do everything, I was the first person to kind of get picked for stuff. Like, oh, well, okay, we need her this girl can do this and this, let's have her out there. And I feel like now in my current job, it's like that a lot too. It's like now, and I don't know if you feel like this too, but I feel like now we have to do everything as like creatives. Like they expect so much out of you. Mm-hmm. And then I think the like higher that you do get in your like industry, you can have more of like a specialty in that field or in that role. But for sure, once you're starting off, I feel like you kind of just have to do everything, because if not, like they can either pay this kid who's like, I don't know, 23, but can only do this one thing, or hire, you know, someone with more experience who like, this is their one thing that they like specialize in. Mm-hmm. So I think it was smart of me to be able to kind of do everything, because then I was able to try everything and figure out what I like the most. And I was able to have some really cool experiences because I kind of got picked to do those things because I knew how to do it.
Absolutely. You mentioned, you know, being able to do as many things as possible. And that's one thing that in my foundation, I feel really glad to have had mentors that expressed that same thing, right? Make sure that you know live production, make sure that you know post-production, make sure that you're experiencing as much as possible. And, you know, even looking back now, I'm like, wow, I really was able to wear many hats at one time. And I think it does set the foundation for the rest of your career. And you mentioned it, I think as I grew, you know, kind of climbed the ranks, so to speak, I did become more specialized where, you know, in my most recent gig, I was editing, you know, 90% of the time, just focused and locked in on editing, less shooting, less producing, and which was awesome. And I think I love the versatility of your background, and I love that you just kept an open mind, you know. And in your multimedia journalist experience working with that production company, I know you had a special moment with George Springer that I feel like many of our guests listening might not know about. What was that experience? And like, for those that don't know that story, what happened there and what did that mean to you?
Yeah, so I'm a person who stutters. So, and George Springer has been very open about his stutter and his speech. And it was interesting because I was still in college, I think, when he first kind of came out with like, oh, I have a stutter. And it was this whole like story. And I thought that was like really cool because I was also in the sports like industry and I didn't know any like athletes or reporters or anyone who stuttered. And like as a producer and as a reporter, as the person trying to go out and get this like this content, you have to like talk to them and ask questions, and there's a lot of speech involved and speaking involved. So that's always been a nervous like thing for me and an insecurity of mine. But anyway, so that experience with George Springer was really cool. It was during spring training, right after they won the World Series in 2017, I believe. I could be wrong about like the time frame, but it was right after that, and it was in Florida. We had flown there to cover that like event. And I just went up to him and I was like, hey, I'm Tessa. I'm a reporter here and I have a stutter and I would love to like interview you about your experience and what that's been like. And he was so cool about it. He was like, yeah, for sure. And then that was that. And that was really cool for me too, to kind of like have that out there. So I don't know. So that way it's just not ever kind of like a question like anymore. It's just kind of like, oh, it is what it is. And like, I didn't get to do that because I stuttered. That was just a cool opportunity that kind of came about at the same time. So yeah.
That's amazing. I feel like, you know, I'm thinking about me and you mentioned it, having those insecurities. You were doing on-air stuff. And you have this stutter. Like, did you have doubts about that? And like, I mean, what was that like? Because I feel like all of us as creatives, we are inherently really insecure deep down, right? And we, you know, find our way through our art and our work. But did you have these doubts, you know, about where your career could take you because of your stutter? What was that like?
Yeah, for sure. All the time, which is why, like, at first I didn't go into like reporting or doing like on-air stuff. I was like, I want to shoot, I want to edit, I want to produce. Like, I don't want to do, I just didn't think that I could. Like, I was like, I can't. And in college too, it was interesting. I was trying to change my degree because of my stutter, because I was like, I cannot get a job where, you know, I might have to speak and stuff and get paid to like do that. Like, that just doesn't add up. The math isn't mathing. Like, that's so that why am yeah. I like trying to go to school for that? It was like I told you, the production company that I at the time I was at is filled with really great people, and it's a small crew. So the producer at the time, I was like on her crew, and I was helping to film. So I was like B cam. So I was just getting like B roll and stuff, but we would travel together like all the time. And they got to know me, and they thought I had a really good like personality, and it was really apparent on air too. So it's like I could have this personality that you can't really teach, but my stutter, they could cut that out. They could edit that. We can like work around that. But I guess the thing that I brought was like a sort of like different personality to what they were trying to produce on air. They like mentioned that, and it was like talked about. And like I said, I'm always down for whatever. I'm trying to do everything. So I was like, yeah, let's try it. Like, doesn't hurt. And like, if not, I can still shoot. I can still like edit. I can still produce. I can still do all of these other things. So if on air stuff doesn't happen, like I'm still like talented. I'm going to be okay. And so we did that for a bit. I did that for like 2 years. So it worked out. I mean, it was really cool. But the more I got into it, the more I like realized, okay, I really want to kind of focus more on producing. So then I kind of moved out of that.
It's great to hear you talk about not letting something hold you back. What I'd like to, you know, to kind of expound on that, at what point in your journey of, you know, working with the Spurs and this production company, did you really start to settle in, I can really do this and I can have longevity in this career field?
Ooh, that's a good question, because I feel like it's always just up and down. Like, your career for me, I feel like has always been like, oh yeah, this is amazing. Like, I'm killing it. I'm crushing it. And then there are some days where I'm like, ooh, actually, do I want to do this forever? Can I do this forever? And I feel like that's a common thought. So I'm kind of just doing it. Like I said, there are times where I like produce a great piece, or I like have a good like interview or something. And I'm like, okay, like I'm good at this. Like, I can actually do this. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be at this table. But there are some times where, yeah, it's like, it's tough. Your career isn't just up, up, up and up, at least not for me. For me, I feel like it's up and then kind of down, and then, oh, wait, up, up, up again. And then actually, maybe I just need to kind of stay on this path. And I've just always taken everything day by day. And it's kind of like, okay, I can do this, and I'm still doing it, and it's 3 years, 5 years, 8 years. Okay, I'm still doing it, and I'm still like happy. I'm still having a good time. I'm enjoying it. So I would say there are a few instances where I felt like, yeah, I can do this. I am doing this. A few. There's a lot. There's a lot of like instances where I'm like, yes, I can do this. There wasn't ever just one time where I was like, okay, this is cool.
So what would be your advice to, especially, it's Women's History Month, we're spotlighting women in this field who, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you probably didn't see as many people that looked like you in this industry. So what would be your advice to some of the younger ladies who are looking to get into the industry, and to those who are in it, who may need a little kind of encouragement to keep going as the road may continue to get rough in some of those areas?
Keep going. Like, keep at it. Even if you feel like I haven't had a gig in like months or in whatever, you will get that break. It will happen. Just keep on. Like, I've said this in the past too, it's like, I think what was special for me and what really helped me is a community of people, of girls in the sports industry that really I was able to kind of just like lean on and vent to or talk to or share, you know, stories. And they kind of help, you know, push me to do more. So I think that's special. Like, you should always have a group of people in the sports like industry that you can depend on and call and talk to, because it's a grind. And to Karina's topic before about how as creatives we take stuff sometimes like personally, and it's because our job is subjective. It's not anything that a person can be like, that's yes and no, yes and no, even though we hear that all the time, yes, mm-hmm. no, yes, no. But at the end of the day, it's like art. So I think this is great. But a client could think, this isn't what I want. So you have to pick your battles 100%, work and be passionate about the craft, but like, understand this isn't you. It doesn't define you. It's not your whole life. Like, I think that's important too, because in sports, I will hear a lot of like no's. I've heard so many no's. I've been like rejected. Can't even count how many times. It's like, no, it's just a part of my like intern, like, no, no. Okay. You can't, you just have to keep going. Like, you're going to hear no all the time. And if you let that stop you, you won't get far at all.
You better preach. That was amazing. No, it was so good. I'm like, I'm inspired. And I think you said something earlier that really resonated. And it was, you know, I'm supposed to be at this table. I think for a lot of women, and not just women, I feel like, again, creatives in general, mm-hmm. but at least for me as a woman, there are times where I have to repeat that same kind of phrase to myself. Even though I've been, you know, working in the industry for 10 plus years, like, there are still days that I have to say, I'm supposed to be at this table. And so I love the way you articulated that. And I'm curious, you know, because you had your start, right? You had your, we talked about it. You started in high school with AV Club, delved a little bit of production in college, and then you had your part-time gig with the Spurs, then with this production company. Where did you go next? And where are you now? And what was your journey like?
Yeah. Okay. So I was with that production company for a few years. And then I was able to work in remotely from Houston. So they had a reporter there. They had one in San Antonio and they had one in Dallas. And so we were covering kind of all of the big sports, you know, teams. And then they went through a restructure. And so a lot of us lost our jobs. So like I said before too, my job was kind of everything. Like, it's sports. So you are busy on Saturdays, on Sundays. Like, you don't have time to go hang out with your friend. Like, it's just so busy. And you kind of put that before everything mm-hmm. else because you love it. Like, it's fun. It's like you're passionate about it. So yeah, oh yeah, I'll work this day. I'll work that day for sure. Sorry, girl, I can't go out with you. I have like I have like a game. Yep. I have cool, you know, it's like you're always telling your friends no. And then so you have this job and then you don't anymore. And it's like, holy crap, what am I going to do? Like, I don't go out. I don't really have a ton of friends mm-hmm. now. Like, my friends were my coworkers. So lost mm-hmm. that job. But within the 2 weeks that I was still at the job for like a month, I think, when they let me know, like, hey, we're going to restructure stuff. Sorry, like, you don't have a job anymore. So I was like, okay, but here's a month. You're going to still work. So during that time, I was calling everyone I knew, just letting people know. And so that's the importance of like connections. And it's a competitive like industry for sure, but don't compete with each other. Like, because sports is so small. And I keep repeating this because people jump from team to team to college. So someone's going to know someone and someone's going to call. Oh, I heard about this guy, whatever. Oh yeah, I worked with him. No. Or yeah, he's great. Bam. You have a call right then and there. So I reached out to the Texans and I had already built, you know, a rapport with them through my production company because I had been to the games. I was a reporter there, so they knew who I was. And they saw me working. I had my tripod. I had my camera. I would flip over the screen and I would report and then go stop the record, like cut that up for the 10 o'clock spot. Like and they saw that. So it's like they saw this girl can work. She, you know, whatever. They had a ton of stuff, but they didn't have a full time spot. Like a lot of sports teams, I feel like, kind of suck you dry. Like they're gonna make everyone work as much as they can, doing one job. So I was there, yes.
For better or for worse,
right? Doing fan stuff. So I was kind of the producer, producing, shooting, and like editing for mainly like marketing, sponsor content, fans, like expanding that whole thing, the brands. Anyway, I didn't do a ton of player content. It was mainly brands, marketing, and sponsored content, which I had never done before. And I fell in love with it. Like still to this day, it's like, that's what I love to do. Like the player, like that stuff is so cool, but I really like the sponsorship like industry of it, which I feel like a lot of people don't like. They're kind of like, that's not why you're in sports. Like, why are you like, you know, involved in that? But anyway, so I did that stuff. Then COVID hit. And so we didn't do a mm-hmm. lot of fan content. We didn't do a lot of sponsorship content. No one knew kind of what was like happening. Yeah. So my job with them basically dissolved. Like it was like I was doing stuff here and there, but it was kind of like, Tessa, we don't know what's going to happen. Like we have no idea. Sorry. And so I was like, okay, let me try freelancing because that's what I know. I know a lot of creatives now are in the freelancing industry, which is a whole different beast in itself. Like, mm-hmm. having to promote yourself, your work, talk to them about pay, like what I feel like I deserve, what you deserve. And you don't have that company to fall back on. Like, hey, they're kind of pushing back. I'm not sure how to handle this. And being able to, okay, this is what the client is like asking for. Do I have to have a crew or is this a thing that I can do? Are there graphics like involved? Like what is the budget? Like there's just so much more that goes into it besides just creating. Like there's a whole business aspect of it. So I did that because I kind of had to. Like I was forced into it. That isn't a goal of mine, but I'm so happy that I did because it taught me a skill set that I don't think I would have ever had to know to have if I was still with like a company. So I did that. It was a grind, and I love stability. Like I just want to coast. And so that was just, I was constantly just like trying to get work. I was like, I'm tired. Your girl is tired right now. And then I'm tired, boss. Like, gosh. So I was doing that, and then I received a call or like an email from the PGA Tour, and they were, they have like tournaments all over the world. So they always hire like freelancers to produce, to film, to edit, to all of that stuff, wherever they are. Mm-hmm. And so they called me about a freelancing gig. And I was like, yeah, sure. So we like hopped on to a call, and they kind of explained what they do, their job. And then I kind of talked about me, and we kind of just like hit it off. Like we were just kind of casually just like chatting. And they said they have a full time producer spot opening up as well, if I was like interested in that. And you know, like I was like ready for some stability. I was kind of over the freelancing, you know, gig. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, for sure. And so that's kind of how that happened. And it's been interesting because every job that I've had, I've never applied to. And I've applied to hundreds of jobs.
Amazing.
But every job that I've gotten has been through someone I've known. Yeah.
See, that
so, like I said, I've been told no countless of times.
I was going to say that. First of all, I feel like that is a great lesson to all our listeners, right? Like sometimes the gigs that you will find are the ones that you least expect. And you had so many roadblocks and hurdles that you had to get over. I love your journey. And I'm sure going through it, it was a hustle and a grind and stressful. But I just love that the PGA Tour position almost in a way fell into your lap. But, and I don't even want to say that it fell into your lap because, right, you did the work. You were hustling, you know, in each position with the Spurs to the Texans to, you know, with the production company, all of those places. So that is amazing. I am curious though, because you worked in the NBA, you worked with the Texans, you worked with the production company. Were you excited about working in golf? Were you nervous about it? I know sometimes a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know if I can like shift leagues. What did you think about that whole process?
So I had no idea anything about golf. And I made that clear. I didn't lie and say that I was this like LPGA, you know, golfer person. And they were expanding and they understood that they had to have people who are not your typical golf fans to be able to expand their fan base. So that was kind of what they told me. And I definitely took some time because I was thinking about it was, I had to like move to Florida. So I had to change states. It's not like I just got this cool new gig and it was fine. No, I had to move because it was full time. I was a producer with the PGA Tour. So I did take some thought into it. And at the time too, I was freelancing. I was thinking, I had a thought where maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I'm not as good as a producer as I thought I was. And that's okay. I need to figure out what I want in life. I need to change careers. I need to do something. So the PGA Tour really came at a time when I was about to get out of the like industry as a whole. And so I kind of felt like this was my one chance to get back in it and see if I can do this. And you guys, when I tell you I didn't know anything about golf, I didn't even know how to drive a golf cart. I don't even think I had been on a golf course, maybe for like an event
wow.
or something. And I remember my first tournament trying to maneuver this golf cart. And I had a crew. I was a producer and I had a crew. So I had my camera guy on the seat next to me, the like all the gear in the back. And they were so cool. They were like, oh, you just have to hit this. I've never felt like judged. Anyway, so I move, I get here. And actually a lot of people, like I say, sports is small. Mm-hmm. The person who was the PR at the Texans, she went to the tour before me. So I saw that and I called her and I said, hey, I got this like job. Like, what's the scoop? Like, tell me like everything that you think. So when I tell you, like, relationships are major. Do not burn a bridge. Do not compete with your peers. Like, that's not going to get you anywhere. There is enough space for all of us. There is enough room. You don't need to be ugly to people, because that's only going to make your job a lot tougher. So yeah, I gave her a call before I like took the job. She was talking about how great it is. Just said the most amazing things. And so I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Like, I'll go. If I hate it, I can come home. And I'm still in this spot that I am in right now. Like, why not? Like, what do I have to lose? And I absolutely love it. I've been here now almost 2 years. And it is incredible. The people I've been like introduced to, like the things that I've done, my craft has improved so much more. I'm able to have a crew and not have to really always do it all by myself. And so I'm able to refine my skills as a producer. And it just, like I said, it's like fate. Like, it just came at the right time. And yeah, I'm just extremely grateful, for sure.
That is amazing. I love the story about the golf cart, because I feel like there's so many moments in our careers where it's like you come across either something you have to do or accomplish and you're like, I don't even know where to begin. Well, where do I, you know, put the key in the ignition? Does it have a key? What? I love that you hadn't even stepped foot on a golf course, and now you are producing all of this incredible content across the country and beyond, and, you know, for a global audience. That is such an awesome story. I'm curious, throughout your career, you know, because I feel like sometimes I've, in my past, you know, I've been questioned at times for, are you sure you know how to do this? Or, right, like, people that just aren't used to seeing maybe a young woman, right, carrying a camera, carrying a tripod. Like, have you encountered any of that throughout your career, of folks maybe questioning your abilities just based on, you know, what you look like?
Yeah. To your point right before, sorry, I just want to make sure I don't, like, mm-hmm. forget this. But once I was able to work at the tour and like figure it out, there's nothing that I can't do. I was like, if I can do this, I can be taught this. I can honestly do anything. And Darius, to your comment about if there was like ever a time where I felt like, oh, like I can do this, like I'm meant, you know, to be here. It was honestly like a month ago. Like, it was like recent. It wasn't anything like far back. It was like, okay, I can produce this. I can get it done. I can get it like out there, when I did not know anything about golf, but yet I can still produce this. And a story is a story, and you're a storyteller. So you can tell a story about anything, basically. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there, because I thought of it right now. I was like, wait, that's my answer. That's my answer right there.
Have you come across moments in your career where people have doubted you because you're a woman, or you're petite, or you're small, or you look a certain way?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I've had moments like that at every stop, in some way or another, from, you know, fans or whoever it might be. I'm curious if you've had those moments as well.
Oh, yeah. From the beginning of my career to now, like, even not as much right now, but I think because I had to put my time in. But especially at the beginning, yeah, I remember I had a former employer ask me why sports, like why. And I was like, oh, okay, because this and this. And then he was like, oh, that's a good, like, that's good, cool. And then I was talking to my peers who are men, and they were like, I've never been like asked that before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. it's sports, like a cool job. Like, I've never been like asked, how come sports? Like, why sports from yeah. from a guy perspective? I've never been like asked that. It's just like, I'm a guy, so I love sports. Like, that's just like assumed.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, like that was weird. Like, now that I look back on it, that was not cool. And then I've also felt too, from being a girl in sports, men in the sports like industry felt more comfortable talking to players in a casual way. And I couldn't. I felt like I had to strictly, hey, I'm here to like ask mm-hmm. you this and that. I couldn't build a nice like friendship because I didn't want other people to look at me and to think, oh, you're just here to like talk to players. You're just here because you want to meet, you know, this player, this guy. And so I felt like sometimes that hurt my craft because I couldn't build those, you know, those good stories, because you have to know the player. You have to kind of, they have to trust you to be able to tell you something that you want to produce, you know, like a good story. And I felt like a lot of times the men were able to get there and I couldn't, because I didn't try, because I was like, no, I need to look a certain way. I can't look at them like in the eye. I have to only, and that could just be me. Like, I don't think that everyone else felt like that, but I was just so concerned about what other people thought of me that I really had to prove that I'm here to work, not to flirt, which mm-hmm. guys, I don't think they felt that pressure of trying to prove that they're there to do a job.
That resonates. So,
yeah. And this is
so
a good
much
place
with
me.
For me to pop. Yeah, I'm curious. Darius, chime in.
Yeah, so this is a good place to interject, because I do want to hear more on that from both of you on what it's like to be in those spaces, knowing that you're talented enough, you're qualified to do the job. Talk about the challenges of being in those spaces where you're being, the requirement for you as a woman is a little different than it is for your male peers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, I feel like, you know, looking back when I was in college, I think I made a very conscious decision because of some of the things that you already mentioned, right? Like, you just, people look at you differently. And so I made a very conscious decision early when I was young in college that I was like, I am going to come across as like extra professional, right? Like, it's almost like it was like to an extreme, because I didn't want there to be any question about why I was there, which is like almost, when I look back, like it's kind of exhausting because you're on at a different level, right? Like, you're there obviously to do the job, but then in the back of your head, you're like, I'm doing the job and do I look professional while I'm doing this? Which, you know, I think you mentioned it, right? With some of your former coworkers, with the question of like, oh, you know, they've never been asked, so why sports in an interview? Like, I don't know if men experience that same thing, but I think that was a pressure I put on myself. But I think that's also a pressure that is just there. It's just naturally, because that's the way society works, right? When we interact with men or women, for the most part, sometimes it's different. And so I think for me, it's a challenge, right? Because I should never have to, like, you know, feel extra professional, like, day to day. Like, I should just show up. And I think, to your point, Tessa, as I grew in my career, I cared less and less. And I was able to just be like, no, I'm here. I have 10 plus years working with this team and that team and this organization. And I've done all of these incredible things that I didn't really have to like feel like I had to flex. But there are some times where I still, you know, even with my expertise and my background, I still feel like I have to flex on them every now and then, you know? And I think that's just, unfortunately, the nature of the beast. But I'm curious your thoughts there, too.
Yeah, no, the same. I was like, am I smiling too much? Am I laughing, you know, a little too hard? Wait, let me tone it back. But that's my personality. And so I think that's why when I was with the Spurs and I had the like opportunity to produce for the Stars, it was like, I can actually be creative. I can have my ideas. I can do these pitches and not think about that extra, okay, if I pitch this, are someone going to think this certain way, or is it going to come across this way? It was more of like a comfort. And it's almost like, okay, because if they flirt or if they do this, it's my fault. Like I did something wrong. And I remember too, when I was in a scrum for football, then this was where like a fear kind of came out. And I was in a scrum with reporters from all over, and a player was flirting towards me and was like, can I get your like phone number, like in front of everyone? Oh, and I was like, dude, I'm at my job right now. Like I'm working. Like, are you serious? It was the wildest thing. And everyone just kind of like laughed because it was right in front of everyone. Everyone laughed. And I don't know. I just felt so embarrassed and so like, I don't know. I still don't really know. It was a long time ago, and it was before, it was just a long time ago. And so, yeah.
And it puts you in an awkward position, right?
But that was
and
the only time that's ever happened.
Yeah, no, that's super uncomfortable. And it's ironic, right? Because it's like, you know, we in the industry we work in now, you know, you've got straight people, you've got gay people, right? LGBTQ, everything in between. And it's like, sometimes it's like, well, why does it matter in one locker room, but not another locker room? Why am I being questioned here in this position, but not in another, right? Like, it's like,
yeah.
Nowadays, you never know. I just wanted to call that out. But also, I hate that you experienced that, because it's also like, that's so unexpected. And like in the moment, you're like, wait, what? Like, and then, you know, people are watching you to see how you respond. I hate that you experience that. But it's, you know, like I said, unfortunately, sometimes it's a part of the industry. That's wild. I do not envy you in that moment. I would have, oh my God, my heart would have dropped. And, you know, I think there are times in my career where I look back and I'm like, after something uncomfortable happens, I'm like, oh, I should have said this. Like, I don't have that wit right in the moment. But I think there are times where, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to have something ready in case something like that happens, right? Which is a challenge. And again, it's something that, you know, we shouldn't have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it was at the time, like, it was like, I let him know, I was like, I'm working, like, what, I'm working. Like, that was my just like instant response. And everyone saw that. So it wasn't a big deal as like it sounds. Like, it was kind of just like, okay, it happened, it's like over. But it's just to the point, like, that stuff is not just, oh, doesn't happen. That's just, it's not me just like being dramatic. It's things that I actually have to be careful for, because someone else could take it the wrong way when that's just my personality. Like, I'm just a friendly person or whatever. So
one of the things, you know, we've talked a lot about your career and your professional journey. I'm curious, like, personally, and you alluded to this earlier, but like, working in sports is tough. The schedule is tough. It's having to turn down, you know, girls' nights dinners or holidays with family. What do you do for fun to wind down? Because the schedule is such a grind. Like, what do you do in your off time?
Mm-hmm. A lot of Netflix with my dog. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah, I love to do that. Reading. I've been really into books because I fly a lot now. So I have a book and I'm like into it. And then I'm home and I'm like, ooh, I have a book now. Let me like get through this book. I like go to the beach, hang out with my, like I make sure to make time for my friends. But, and I feel like I have the confidence in my career to be able to ask for that time off, to be able to tell them, hey, I'm feeling burnt out. And I'm blessed to have a employer who like understands that and who says, yes, like take time off here, take time off there, like is who is very understanding with you've been out, you know, for like a week now, get off these like 2 days, an extra day here, go home if you don't have like an edit to do or something. It's more flexible now. So I'm so blessed. But when I was just starting off too, I had more like energy, I think too. So I was kind of like, I felt like I could do everything and go here and go there. And then like afterwards go out, like when I'm home at like midnight, like, yeah, let's go out now. No, heck no, I can't do that. I either have to pick a work or going out. And now I feel like I'm at the point where I can say no to gigs or to something like that. Don't get me wrong, it's still a grind, but there's definitely more flexibility, I think.
Yeah, I love it.
Hang out with my dog, Netflix, pool, the beach, since I'm in Florida. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. What's on your bookshelf or your
Beast of a Little Land? I'm like looking right now. Let me see what's on my bookshelf. Evelyn Hugo. That one is so good too. You need to look that up. Astro Ball. I tried to get into that. I couldn't get into that. Maybe I'm not like a sports girly because I couldn't read a sports book. So I have that one. I couldn't finish it though. But yeah, just a few like nonfiction. Nothing too serious.
So it's interesting to hear how you kind of wind down and find space outside of your job. So a couple of things that I'll ask both of you as well, being women in the industry, is one, where do you see, I mean, we've made a ton of progress, right? In the last 5-10 years, a lot of women are in spaces that in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, we didn't see a whole lot of that. Where do you see the industry going as a whole for video production and creatives for women? And what do you enjoy most about being in the space? And you can answer either one first.
What I enjoy about being in the space the most is I think it's a huge flex, like point blank, like it's just a cool job, like to tell people like, oh, I work for this or I work for that. Like, that's something that I can be proud of, you know, for my company, for the stuff I do. Like, it's just something that I'm proud of. And I'm able to create stuff every day. And it's mine. It's like, I'm passionate about this, which is why sometimes I can take it like personally when someone doesn't like it or someone doesn't agree. But I like the fact that I get to create with teams of people something that's always different. And I love the people who I've met within sports, because people who are in sports, they kind of come from that team background. And so that's really proven when we collaborate. So I think those two are my favorite parts, that it's a flex and all of the people that I get to interact with every day.
It is 100% a flex. And I love that part of it. It is always fun To the point that sometimes I don't share that I work, like, especially when I worked for the Warriors, people would say, oh, what do you do for a living? And I would just say, oh, I work in as a video editor. I wouldn't specify that I worked for the Warriors because then it'd be like all these questions, or they'd be like, oh, are you a cheerleader? All these other things. So it definitely is a flex. I agree with you there.
Oh, yeah, I get that all the time. That's funny.
I do also think that, you know, you asked what the direction is for women. And I feel like when I first started in college, I was lucky because the internship program I had was pretty diverse, right? There were lots of, it was about 50-50, I would say, interns from a gender standpoint, like men and women. And, you know, at the same time, I didn't see people in my position above me. And I think that still remains to be true. Most of my managers have been men. I've been lucky in some of the stops I've been at, you know, some of my bosses have been women. So that was cool. But I think we are shifting to a place where more and more we're going to see women running marketing organizations. And, you know, my most previous job, my most recent job, our CMO was a woman. And I think the content, the video content boom is actually helping, right? Because with all of the social content being put out, all of the opportunities that are there and the roles for not just video production, but working in social and working in all of these other capacities, analytics even. I've seen not just in creative roles, but beyond that in sports, like more and more women are starting to come into the fold. And for me, that's really exciting because I feel like it's shifting the narratives a little bit where hopefully, you know, we won't have as many people asking in an interview, so why sports, right? It's just like the nature. It's just like, because, you know, I'm just here and I love it. And I think for me, my favorite part about working in the industry is, in a way, because I am often either one of or the only, so to speak, in the room, I put this pressure on myself and I feel like I need to prove something. But I think at the same time, that's a really, really special honor and privileged position to be in, right? To kind of set the tone and set the foundation for others down the road. So I think in a way, that's getting really like deep and high level here. But I feel like that's one thing that I really love. And knowing that, you know, my mom or my grandmas or my aunts and, you know, even some of my uncles, right? They never could have imagined, you know, some of the roles that I've had in my career. And that is just, I don't know, it's something that makes me really proud and it's something that I really love about this industry.
So you're going to take me down a little road here now that you've said that, Karina. We've talked about where we see it going, but where are some areas that you think would be beneficial for us to improve the presence of women in the industry? Like, yes, we see more women carrying cameras or editing or photographers, but you did make mention of those leadership positions. Where can we improve, and kind of why we need that presence of a diverse leadership? Not just women, people of color, LGBTQ plus, many areas. Why is that important for us to kind of expand those areas to be more inclusive and not just the status quo of what we've seen over the course of the last 50 or so years, not just in sports production or creative, but in the industry of what we all do as a whole?
Yeah, I love that question because I noticed that you said, what can we do to improve? And I think it's something we all of that, every single one of us in the industry needs to ask ourselves, right? What can we do to improve? Not what can women do to improve the industry, or not what can insert, right, identity do to improve? I think it's on every single one of us to make our own strides, right, to improve the industry. I think if I were to give, you know, my quick and dirty answer, it would really be to those folks that are in leadership. Look at your team. What does it look like? What does it not look like? And, you know, think about every piece of the identity pie circle. I always, when I talk about identity, I'm like, okay, it's not just men versus women. There's so many things more when it comes to identity. It's like where you come from, your ethnicity, your race, you know, sexual orientation, all of those things. But I think for me, if there was a quick and dirty answer, a quick and dirty solution, it's for leaders to really evaluate their teams and to really evaluate their hiring processes. Are they always going on Teamwork Online and looking in that one place where lots of people are, you know, applying to sports jobs? Or are they being proactive and reaching out to their own network and people outside their network even? I think that's one of the ways that we can make steps to improve, but also just within the day-to-day, you know, calling out, you know, maybe inappropriate conversations or calling out with your close friend, right? Your work wife or your work husband, if they do something weird or they do something off, or if they share a joke that maybe just kind of, you know, tilts the edge of being inappropriate, right? Just like calling them out maybe. And it doesn't have to be like in front of everybody, but just saying, hey, you know, maybe next time don't say this in this way. I think we all have our own work to do. That being said, it's not just on a certain group of people, right? It's on all of us. So that's my two cents there.
I love it. Tessa, anything to add to that?
I really don't. I wish I did, but yeah, that was awesome. I guess I don't have really anything, because I feel like I've met some, you know, it has, for me at least, there's always been, I've never been the only girl, the only, like, it, which is, I think, a big,
that's
privilege.
Awesome.
Maybe I'm just like used to it. I don't know. It just hasn't really been an issue for me, which is as far as like with my crews and stuff personally. But
and that's a fortunate thing.
Yeah,
like everyone isn't as fortunate to have worked with someone who looks like them. But this is what I'm hoping for this month. As we celebrate women in this industry from different backgrounds, from different walks of life, from different everything, that we get a chance to not only celebrate you, but also listen to you on how we in this instance as a male, can do better by you, for you, and with you. And I think that's what other men should do, not only in this industry, in our communities, in our country, in our states, whatever, we can do a better job. It's not to say that we're terrible people, but we can always look for areas where we can do better by you, for you, with you. So thank you for sharing all of your journey, all of your story, and being a you know, kick-ass creative in this industry, because we need more like you.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the sports creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.